Hello, and welcome back to this verse-by-verse ministry of Bible teaching. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word. That's a hand car washing business in Churchill, Tennessee, on Highway 11. We're located in the Palace Shopping Center, and there we operate the hand car washing business. It's called the Wash and Word, and while you're there, you're able to turn your radio to 107.1 FM, and we record and play back these verse-by-verse Bible teachings on the radio. And they transmit about 150 feet radius of the Wash and Word building, and so you can pull in while you're getting your car washed. You can listen to this and other messages, or you can just pull into the parking lot and get fed the Word of God anytime during our open business hours. And being a verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry, we pick it up where we left off in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, and we've just got through talking about how Jesus did a healing at the pool of a crippled man, and the Pharisees took offense to the fact that he did it on the Sabbath day. But even more than that, Jesus continued by talking about how he was equal to the Father, and this, of course, led to the Pharisees being outraged, and from that moment on, Jesus set the course to his crucifixion. But he then began a monologue of 10 or 12 verses where he just began speaking truth, because everything Jesus said was truth. And it was an interesting note from last study that the Pharisees didn't interrupt him. They didn't stop him from talking. He continued to voice this truth about himself uninterrupted. And we made the point that, you know, that truth is an intriguing thing. Even amongst unbelievers, even amongst those in sin or who are doing sin, truth has a way of drawing people in. And we, of course, referenced King Herod, how he was drawn to John the Baptist, even though John the Baptist was individually calling him out for his sins. And we ended by talking about, you know, how important Jesus is in the world, because he is the central figure of all humanity, of all time. And, you know, believing in God isn't going to save you, because lots of people believe in God. It's not that we believe in God, it's we believe God. That is, we believe the things that he said, that Jesus Christ is the central figure of all humanity, of all time. And so we pick up where we left off, and we're going to go ahead and read in verse 25 through 30 of John chapter 5. And it reads this: I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. Now that's the... We're still in the middle of Jesus' monologue here. And, you know, if you went back and read verses 16 through 30, which is what we covered over the last two messages, it's a pretty weighty monologue that Jesus gives here. There's quite a lot of heavy stuff that he says in these verses. But we see now, for the third time, he's talking about this resurrection. And in verse 25, he says, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will live. And then also in verse 28, he says, when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. But there's another part of that we can clarify this with, and that's the following verse in verse 29. It says, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Now, that is a very simplistic verse. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So, in the vein of giving simplistic verses or application, let me give you one. Salvation is a gift of God in response to faith in Christ. Salvation is a gift of God in response to faith in Christ. And I know what you're thinking. Wow, radio preacher, did you stay up all night for that gem? Yeah, and I know in its simplicity, it's not very profound or very original. But we tend to overlook this one important fact that every single one of us is going to be judged according to his work. And in the initial judgment, when I say work, I don't mean the things that you've done with your hands, the things that you did before or after salvation. I'm talking about the question that we all will have to answer at judgment, and that is, what did you do with my son? What did you do with Jesus? Remember, Jesus was given to us as a gift. Salvation is the gift, and Jesus is the means by which that gift is given. So God has given us the gift of salvation, but in order to get that gift of salvation, we have to go through Jesus. And if you stand at the judgment seat one day, and your answer to the question, what did you do with Jesus? And your answer is something along the lines of, he was a great man that I respected, you know, and I loved his teachings and tried to live by them. You know, I went to church because that was the thing to do, or maybe you did nothing at all. Those answers are going to get you the latter part of verse 29, and that is, those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. We will all rise. The question is, what happens after we rise? You know, if we were in dire times, some sort of apocalyptic type society, or maybe just in a part of the world where you have such famine, and let's say times got really bad and your neighbor gave you some seeds, maybe some fertilizer, an assortment of garden tools, and yet you still starved to death. Then the obvious question will be, well, what did you do with the seeds and the tools that I gave you to survive? And you'll have no answer if you didn't use the things that were given to you. So that's the first judgment we have to, that there will be a weeding out of. But once that weeding out takes place, there's only left those who said yes to Christ. But what of them? You know, what happens at that second judgment for those of us who pass the first judgment and have indeed put our faith in Christ? For those of us who are not at present time burning and screaming and having their flesh ripped off their bones and they cannot escape and they cannot die, what about the rest of us that aren't suffering in a place called hell? Well, for the rest of us, there is a judgment of our works, a judgment of the things we did after we said yes to Christ. And so, while as simple as salvation is the gift of God in response to faith in Christ, listen, Christian judgment is also the gift of God in response to your faith in Christ. That is, that the judgment that we will receive as a Christian is a gift of God in response to our faith in Christ. Again, we're going to be asked, what did you do with Jesus? And we're going to reply with our answers. And we can't hide, because everything will come to light. We sing a song, and we don't sing it so much anymore in our churches, but we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Listen, that gift that we lay at the feet of Jesus, those crowns, they come from your works. They come from the things that you have done after the fact you've been, your eyes have been opened to the truth of Christ. And I got to tell you something that took me years, and I'm still learning, but to serve Jesus Christ on this side of heaven is not only a command, it is a privilege. And the ability to serve Jesus on earth, well, that gives you something very valuable. You also receive a heightened state of worship when you get to heaven. And what I mean by that is, picture yourself going to let's say you went to a birthday party, and it comes time for the birthday person to open gifts, and they were all in a circle, and this person is opening gifts, and they open this one gift, and, oh, thank you so-and-so for this, and they open another gift, and around the circle they go, and then all the gifts are done, and you realize you're the only one who didn't bring a gift for your friend at the birthday party. How would you feel about that? You know, it would be awkward. It would be, now, you were invited to the birthday party, but you brought no gift. And for so many of us who still live selfishly after salvation, we will come before the cross giftless, with nothing to lay at our Savior's feet. But when I tell you that serving Jesus on earth, that gift is a privilege, and it gives you the ability to serve him here for a heightened state of worship in heaven. Imagine being before the throne and having all of these works, these crowns, these gifts to lay before our heavenly Savior. Now, I can't prove this biblically, but I honestly believe there's some sort of a hierarchy in heaven. You know, I believe that the proud, saved, you know, believer who didn't do much after salvation, I believe that he will serve the humble, saved believer, the one who gave themselves for the sake of the gospel. You know, Jesus did say the last shall be first and the first shall be last. He's speaking of those in the kingdom. But the motivation is the crowns. The motivation is the heightened state of worship that I believe you will feel when you get to the throne of that judgment, of the judgment of our works. And what a glorious state of worship we will have towards our Savior if we have so much to bring to him, to lay at his feet, and be so thankful we were allowed the privilege to serve him. So let us not fall short in that area, friends. As we continue reading in verse 31 through 35, if I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I'm going to stop right there because he's talking about John the Baptist here. And if you've followed me through the book of John thus far, you know that I am a big fan of John the Baptist. And so was Jesus. Jesus had a lot of good things to say about John the Baptist. But let me ask you a question out there. Do you care what others think about you? You know, some of us rise up and say, I don't care what others think about me. You know, there's two different attitudes when you answer the question, do you care what others think about you? And I don't think either one is right or wrong. But one of them is, I don't care what others say. Another one is, well, yeah, I care about what people say about me. In fact, if they're saying this about me, I want to analyze myself and maybe change so that I'm not, you know, that I'm not that person. I don't want people thinking of me maybe in this particular way. There's a self-worth kind of an examination. In verse 34, Jesus says that he does not accept man's testimony. Why? I mean, aren't we supposed to testify about who he is? Well, of course, the answer is yes to that. But see, that doesn't validate him. In other words, he doesn't need our testimony to validate who he is. Yes, friends, your testimony does not validate who Jesus is. Just as what people say or think about you should not validate who you are or discredit who you are, you should be standing firm in who you are because of how God made you and how God views you. You know, we have too much focus on what other people say and what their, quote, testimony is about us. Listen, I'm going to end by saying something harsh here. Jesus doesn't need you. Okay? I know that sounds harsh, but it's the truth. Your involvement in the kingdom is a privilege. Your testimony, your witness, your serving is a privilege that you have been given to use for the sake of your heightened worship when you stand one day before our Judger, before our Savior. Think about that, because that's where we're going to pick it up tomorrow when we pick it up right back here in verse 36, Gospel of John. Till then, I encourage you to come by the washing word, get your car washed, and we'll see you tomorrow. Have a great and blessed day.